Well, good morning and welcome to Carmel Christian Centre. We trust you'll catch something of the heart of God as you spend time with us, whether you're a regular or a visitor, welcome. And I think as we just worship and as we endeavour to praise Him, God wants to impart something to our lives. And I don't know what you're looking for this morning, but I believe that God can actually speak to you. Now, I'm going to talk about giving, which may not be where you're at, but maybe God can speak to you through what I'm going to say. Don't switch off. And as we were just worshiping, I thought the most important decision we ever make in life is whether we're going to put our faith in Him or not, whether we're going to believe Him or not, whether we're going to be a disciple of His or not. Because all that we've worshipped with, all the songs, all the words that we've used, are only of any relevance to us. They only give us something if we believe and we put our faith and our trust in Him. I surrender willingly, or I willingly surrender? I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. It will be a joyful surrender, which is quite a powerful little verse in a song, but it sums up our relationship with God, really. Are we willingly surrendering to Him? Are we joyfully surrendering to Him? So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some of our values here. It's important always to understand what you believe and why you believe it. And as a church, we try to pin all our values in the Word. And so this morning, I'm going to flick through a lot of scriptures because it's important that the things I'm saying actually are not just my thoughts or my understanding, but actually they are founded on the Word. And so we're going to continue by looking at giving. And that's always quite a difficult subject to talk about, because it can put fear in us if we don't understand what that is. They're after me money again. They're after me money again. And I want to tell you this morning that I'm not after your money. I'm not after anything. God may speak to you about some of that stuff, but I'm not after you. In fact, I made a decision in the week that I'm to emphasize or to illustrate that we're not going to take an offering this morning, because we're not after your money. And God's not after your money. It's important how we manage money, but God isn't after your money, and neither am I. Well, maybe look at that. I was going to speak for 1 week on this subject, but I'm going to split it into two. So this morning I'm looking at why we give. Why we give. Next week I'll maybe look at what we give. So if you want to just spend a week meditating on why we give, look at your heart response. We'll take an offering next week, and I'm sure it'll be three times as much as what we'd have got this week. Okay, Jed took us through tithing last week. I did send out a link for you to listen to, because I think it's really important that we understand what tithing is. And we understand the context of tithing within Scripture and how that really works out in our church today. So I think that was a very clear message on our understanding of tithing, giving a tenth. It was what the children of Israel did. It was part of their culture, part of their sort of living and in obedience to God. And it produced support for the Levites, the priests, foreigners, widows, the fatherless. It was used for festivals three times a year. But it was superseded when Christ was born and a new covenant was established. And it's important to understand that. Does that mean we're set free from tithing? Well, yeah, it does. Does it mean we're set free from giving? No, it doesn't. It's important that we understand tithing, because I think tithing has been used in the church as language for giving. We use it. It's a word we understand. New people coming into church wouldn't understand that. But so we're talking about giving, about offering, about what we give in terms of our response to God. The new covenant, that is, since Christ came, the new covenant is based on grace, not law. This is a massive shift from our relationship with God, from what it was in the Old Testament, where we connected with God, we were obedient to God by keeping his commands. It was the law. And the law demanded many things from the children of Israel. But when Christ came, he said that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to set you free from all of that requirement because I am now the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we come to the Father, not through law, but through my death and my resurrection. It's paid the price for sin, and that's the way we communicate with God. It is massive. And love and grace is almost the opposite from law. And we try always to say that in this church we operate in love and grace. We are a grace community, which means we accept people for who they are. We accept you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter what you think, you're accepted here because God loves you. And it's important always to keep reminding ourselves that we as individuals are loved by God. Sometimes we separate ourselves off, our behaviours isolate us from God if we're not careful, because we think he doesn't love me now. I've done something and he doesn't love me. But that isn't the gospel news. The gospel news is God loves us. His grace is poured into our lives. And his relationship with us is based on all that he's done. It's a grace relationship, something we don't deserve. The whole dynamic of our relationship, God, has moved from keeping law to living in relationship with him. We've been given personal access to God by what he's done, not on the laws that we keep. So it's all about him. It's why we can come on a Sunday morning and worship, because it's not about what we've done. It's about all that he has given to us. Probably the most famous scripture in the Bible, or the most well-known one, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, for God so loved me, for God so loved you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus is a gift to us. He's a gift to each of us individually. Jesus came to meet the requirements of the law through his death and his resurrection, and he gave himself. He was having a conversation with Pilate, and Pilate couldn't understand why Jesus wouldn't defend himself. He couldn't understand why, when he was facing this horrific death of crucifixion, that he didn't try and justify who he was. He didn't try and defend himself in any way. And Jesus said, you know, you can't take my life from me. I'm giving it. I'm giving my life. And that's what our relationship with God is based on. It's based on him giving to us his life that we might live. And as we open our lives up to God, as we begin to journey in this relationship with him, he begins to change us. I don't know whether you've noticed any change, but he begins to change us. He begins to challenge us about our behaviors and our thoughts. He wants to make us more like him. He was given freely as a gift, and we accept his grace. And God is always trying to break into our lives, into our heart. Now, the heart, we talk a lot about the heart. It's kind of the center of who we are. It's where our emotions are, it's where our thoughts are, it's where our decisions are made, are all in our heart, and that's where God wants to live. He wants to live at the core of our being so that he can begin to change us to become more like him. So he can break into our lives and he begin to transform some of our behaviors, some of our thinking, transform some of those internal things that are there, and we go, I don't know how I'm going to change from this. God says, I do. Just let me in and I'll change you. Those impossible situations we face internally are all possible to be changed when we include God in our hearts and in our lives. It's always God's way. It's always what God wanted, even as we read through the Old Testament, and it seems quite harsh, some of the relationship that God had with the children of Israel. But his heart was always to have this relationship with them. He wanted to break into our lives. It says this in Scripture, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord." So this is after Jesus has come. "I will put my laws" where? "In their hearts. And I will write them on their minds." So they will, by spiritual exchange, they will begin to understand that I love them and I'm living in them. I'm not just a God that is external to every situation and to them. Luke says this, "He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So God there is kind of expressing that he wants this relationship where he lives in our heart. And you know, when you begin to understand how much God has given to us, when we went through the grace course a few weeks ago, and we began to understand the grace of God and how much he's given to us, how much he wants to live in us and change us, how much he wants to be involved in everyday living, we want to be obedient. We want to be obedient. We want our lives to be a joyful surrender because we recognize all that God has done for us and all that he's doing for us. We are being changed. We're a new creation. It says that in the word, doesn't it? We're a new creation and new things are always coming to us. So what that means is that salvation, we are born again. We enter into this relationship with God, but that's really just the start of the journey. And we're on this journey of discipleship where we are being changed. It says from glory unto glory. We are being transformed by the way that we live, by our thoughts, by our actions. God is always working with us to transform us so that we are constantly being changed. If you think you are the finished product, it's not true. God ain't finished with you yet. And sometimes as believers, we think God has done it all now. I can take over from here. I can live my life now. He's changed me enough. He's done enough for me. I'll just carry on as I am. But we need to live in humility as well, understanding that God is always available for us. He always wants to be living in our hearts. The moment we take over is the moment we begin to fail in him. So part of the transformation that we face is changing our understanding of life and of the world and how we fit into it, how God really changes our understanding of world culture. And we change from one culture to a new culture, which is called the Kingdom of Heaven. And this includes our understanding of God's provision, who it belongs to, and what we do with it. So we've got to bear in mind that Christ gave us everything. He gave us his life. That God is working in us. He's changing us. He's changing our perception, our understanding, our attitudes about many things in life. But we should be joyfully surrendering all that we are to him because of all that he's done for us. And that includes his provision for us and what we do with it. The principles of giving. It's out of relationship with God. We want to please God. That should be our heart. If we are joyfully surrendering, then it's a pleasure to please God. It's a pleasure to do the things that God is calling us to do. He's living in our heart and we're responding to that. Just as you do in relationship, when you love somebody, you give them. When you don't love somebody, you don't. And so we've got to remember that we are in this relationship with God. We love him and we want to be obedient to him. We've already said that we're a new creation. God is creating in us a new character and new values. And I don't know how you are with money and finances. We all hold on to it to different degrees, but I just want to talk about that for a little moment. One of my favourite stories in the Bible is the story of Zacchaeus, because he just examples this transformation about money, about the grip that it had on Zacchaeus and how he was set free from that grip. So let's read that. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because of this man, too, is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and sort of culturally they were the lowest of the, they were thieves. They used to take taxes for the Romans to sustain their kind of power within Israel. And they used to cheat. They used to take more than what they should have done. And he would have had quite a wealthy lifestyle. And Jesus was coming through the town. And he said, "I want to see this man." And it tells us that Zacchaeus was only a little fella. We don't know how big that is or how little that is. But to see over the heads of the people, he climbed a tree. And Jesus said, "Oh, I'm going to spend some time with you, Zacchaeus. Come down, let's go to your house. And let's just talk for a while." And while Jesus was talking with him, Zacchaeus' heart responded to the grace of God. It responded in a massive way. And immediately Zacchaeus was transformed. And he said, "Look, Lord, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount that I took." What a transformation in somebody's heart. And that's what God is doing all the time. He's transforming our thinking. And Zacchaeus, before this interaction, before this confrontation and discussion with Jesus, would have kept hold of everything because his value was around what I've got. And the moment Jesus broke into his life, it's what can I give? What a transformation that is. There's another story about a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to gain eternal life? What must I do to get into the kingdom of heaven?" And anybody that comes into my office, I'll tell them this. He said, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And he said, "Go and give it all away." Wow. It said the rich young man went away a bit sad because he couldn't let go of what he had. His values, his self-esteem, his power all came from what he had. Jesus knew that and he told him to give it all away. Maybe Jesus is telling you to give something away, maybe not money, but there are things that we hold that we can't let go of. And it means that God can't work in our lives. And that man went away sad. We've got to love one another, which is a bit hard sometimes. Loving one another, demonstrating the change that God has brought into our lives. We want to give because it's part of our new heart, and we give away our love to one another. We encourage one another. We are together, we go through things together. And I just want to read something of the early church, because this is just mind-blowing, really, in terms of what we give. It was such a powerful message to the community in which the early church lived that it said awe came upon the whole community. They were watching this thing happening and they were in awe of what God was doing because it was so transformational. So let's read some of the verses from Acts. This is the early church. So this is after Jesus had risen and gone away. And Peter was the church leader, if you like, and he was gathering together this group of people who were new Christians, the early church. So let's read this together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had need. That's powerful, isn't it? That's culturally transforming our thinking about what we own and whose it is. And it's a real challenge to our Western culture, that. A real challenge to capitalist culture, which is what we're living in, when we talk that when we work hard, we get things. When we work hard, we are successful because it's all about what I've done. It's all about my work. I'm working hard and I deserve everything that I get. The harder we work, the more success we have, the more possessions we accumulate, the more self-worth we can have, the more value we place on who we are. Everything becomes about personal ownership because I earned it, it's mine. It's very much where we are in society today. We do get some generous people, even out there. But the challenge to us in here, the challenge to us who are becoming disciples, who are growing in grace and growing in all that God wants to bring to us, is how do we deal with what we have? Whose is it and what do we do with it? I think God is always dealing with stuff in our lives, and giving stuff away is a real challenge for many of us. But God is a giving God. He gave us his son. And God works in our heart. And he's trying to release our grip. I know Jim used to say, there's nothing wrong with money, but it's how tight we hold on to it. Can people pull it out of your hands? Let's just read some scriptures together. Kind of puts in context where we're at and may help us with our understanding of what God is doing in our lives, how he's changing our thinking, and how he's changing us from the inside. So Matthew, I'll start with Matthew. I've got a few scriptures. I'm going to read straight through them. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give them your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others may be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer. Stop it. But must work. Doing something useful with their own hands. Why? That they may have something to share with those in need. That message goes all the way through the New Testament. We've received a lot. We should have a giving heart. This is Christ's attitude. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. He gave his only son that we might have eternal life. He gave everything that we might become rich. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As Jesus was facing the cross, as he was struggling internally with what was going to happen, he said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he gave everything for us. Even though he knew that was going to be painful and it was going to cost him his life, there was a joy in him. He could see us here this morning. He could see your relationship with God. And it was a joyful surrender of his life. So when we talk about giving, we're giving to God. That's who you can give anything to anybody, but ultimately we're giving to God. We're recognizing that he's given us everything. We're recognizing that the possessions that we have, although we might have earned them, they're not ours. They're ours to share, they're ours to give away. And so there's quite a stretch for some of us sometimes. We like to feel that I've earned it, it's mine. That's our cultural mindset. But God turns everything upside down, doesn't he? And he said, what's yours really is mine. Let's give it all away. I'll talk next week in a little bit more detail about what this means for us today, how we fit all that we've talked about in terms of tithing and how we give into the context of local church, into the context of how we sort of share things with one another. So come next week and we'll finish this little study on giving. But I think something that Jed said and something that I would concur with is that our giving isn't something that we demand. We don't demand anything from anybody. It's God that demands. It's God that speaks to us. And so we need to be in touch with God. We need to be allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and our lives. And your job, if you like, is to go away and think about this and think, is Mark talking rubbish? Was Jed leading us up the garden path? Or is there some truth in this? Just Holy Spirit, reveal it to my heart so I can give to you freely and surrender willingly and joyfully in what I give. Remember, our living is not about me, it's about him. That should be our focus. Every day, it's not about me, it's about him. And sometimes the challenges of our Christian walk are just our thinking and our behaviours. And God very often wants to do that through his Holy Spirit. So listen to the Holy Spirit this week as you just meditate on this, as you think about it, as you ask God, what does that mean for me? Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Mark. I think I said last week, but just maybe to underline it, the passages about giving in the ones I looked at were 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's talking about giving. It's one of my favourite verses in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, "He has made us rich in every way so we can be generous on every occasion." Wow, what a verse. He's made us rich in every way so we can be generous on every occasion. So that might be with your time, might be with what you've got. So it's for God to speak to you. That's where we're at as a leadership. It's about what God's saying in your heart, because that'll stick and count. If I start giving orders or Mark does, it won't last for very long. But if God does it, it'll last. So it's important that we have space and time for God to speak, which sometimes our days of prayer are about as well. It's not just about praying for people, it's about receiving from God. Those verses in Jeremiah say, if you seek God with all your heart, you'll find him. So for those of you not sure, there's a promise for you from Scripture. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. We've just had a preacher. I better not preach again. Raimondo.